musical heroes Bert Jansch, Birdsong, from his 1971 record Rosemary Lane. If you got a chance, check out the documentary Acoustic Roots. It's currently available to watch for free up on YouTube. Follows Bert Jansch and the whole English folk revival scene that he was a part of. Just really great vibes. That, along with We Jam Econo, the Minutemen documentary, are films that I go back to when I need a spiritual realignment. Right now, millions of kids up to age 19 are eligible for free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP. Your child could be one of them. In fact, children in a family earning of four earning up to $80,000 a year may qualify. Income levels vary by state. Regular checkups, immunizations, doctor and dentist visits, hospital care, mental health services, prescriptions, and more are covered. For more information or to enroll today, go to insurekidsnow.gov. That's insurekidsnow.gov. Families affected by disasters urgently need your support. You can help the American Red Cross provide help and hope to those when they need it most. Please donate today. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to help people affected by disasters, big and small. Your support is critical. We can't do it without you. Let's get back to the music here. This is Brent Cordero and Peter Kirlin off of their 2023 release, A Sublime Madness. This is the closing track, Peric.
Alerting you there is no escape. the threat is all around you. Sincerely yours. Travel, cracked screens scrambling the information. The red and blue flashes of color are happening.
is Reincarnation 2 by Valentina Goncharova and Alexander Aksanov on Shikai Records, archival release of obscure and avant-garde Ukrainian music. Before that, some free jazz from Anna Hogberg Attack. Some cool Nigerian Afrobeat from Gnonis Pedro and his Dajas band off of a new compilation release on Analog Africa. And a really amazing new cut from Bill Orcutt off of his new album, How to Rescue Things, that was not reconciled. You are listening to An Experiment with Time on WRCT Pittsburgh. Everyone thinks they know the 80s hits, but on the other side of the Atlantic lies a treasure trove of synth-drenched sounds that filled the airwaves of Europe back in the day. Take a trip back to the 80s you never knew with DJ Tony Tunes from Here to Eternity, Mondays at 4 p.m. Funky, deep, psychedelic, electronic music in that. Couch Dancing with DJ Firefly, Wednesday afternoons 3 to 5 p.m. and re-airing 5 a.m. on Mondays on WRCT Pittsburgh. And tune in to Kaleidoscope, an eclectic hour of music with your very own DJ Kate, Mondays at 10 p.m. only on WRCT Pittsburgh. Add to the colorful mix by calling in requests.
Before I caught out.
amazing Shirley Collins and Davy Graham from their classic 1964 album Folk Roots, New Roots. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Experiment Time on the WRCT Pittsburgh. The show airs every Saturday night at midnight. If you dig in the music that you've been listening to, check out the full playlist up on WRCT.org. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Take care of yourselves.
Hi, you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. This is Ebony Spectrum and In Black America for this week. We have lots of news stories for you, so listen up and see what you missed. First up is a commentary from Rick.
This is a commentary on the Black World Media Network.
This is Rick Adams, the radio activist host of Ebony Spectrum Heard on the Black World Media Network. Just a thought, a worm in a Kennedy brain is not relevant. Robert Kennedy Jr. revealed that he had a dead worm in his brain. That's not our concern. The worm we should be worried about is James Wormley, a freeborn black man in the 1870s who had spent time in Europe learning fine culinary skills. He bought and owned the Wormley Hotel, 1500 H Street in Washington, D.C. That location, owned by a black man, was the site where one of the greatest betrayals of black freedom in our history was finalized. The early bird catches the word, be damned. We need to be woke. After the presidential election of 1876, and it could not be resolved until the following year with the Hayes-Tilden Compromise of 1877, which was negotiated in that black-owned hotel, and it launched a counter-revolution to black hopes for freedom that lasted for the next 100 years. Today, some black people are willingly participating in equally destructive betrayals of black freedom. The harmful and dangerous 1877 Hayes-Tilden Compromise installed the new U.S. president, a Republican. Back then, the Republicans were the radical party supporting black rights. The controversial national election of 1876 saw the Republican Ruther B. Hayes being declared the winner with 252,000 less votes over Samuel J. Tilden. Sounds MAGA familiar, don't it? In exchange for Republican control of the federal government, the local Democratic parties, who then were the racists, were allowed to control the southern states without national intervention. The radical Republicans withdrew federal troops who were stationed in the South to protect the newly emancipated Africans. Once removed, the racist Dixiecrats allowed the KKK to install racist state dictatorships that terrorized the formerly enslaved with a century of whippings, lynchings, rapes, and violence. Black elected officials were thrown out of office, and thousands of black people lost their lives and their land. This terrorism would not be beaten back until the civil rights and black power movements of the 1950s and the 1960s. In 2024, 150 years later, the fact that some knee to grows are voting for the son of a Klansman, a pin-up boy for the Proud Boys, skinheads, Nazis, and neo-Confederates is big news. Some of us are so confused that we think a vote for a candidate who is an abuser of women, accused of child molesting, convicted of criminal business practices, encouraging political violence against, and is a pathological liar is a sound strategy. The MAGA former president, once defeated, twice impeached, will have immunity if returned to the White House. He will have the support and will support immunity for the police, and he will be protected and supported by federal judges who prop up this unholy alliance of the immune. This is a Project 2025 recipe for disaster. Brothers and sisters, please note who these colored retrogrades are. Some are confused. Some are something much more dangerous. Thank God they are a minority. These Negroes are named U.S. Senator Tim Scott, Congressman Byron Donalds, Candace Owens, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Herschel Walker, Ben Carson, Clarence Thomas, just to name a few. Those voters who would vote for the orange man and others of his ilk are in league with the devil. It is all right to have different political ideas and visions. It is all right to be a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent. It is not all right to support authoritarian, racist, fascist, anti-women and workers' rights, violence advocating regressives, otherwise known as MAGA, Republicans, and frankly, greedy, selfish, evil people. Nor do I think it's wise or a smart strategy to not vote at all. Let's not be easily distracted. My people's number one goal, our goal, is to not become worm food.
That was a commentary on the Black World Media Network. Keep listening for insights and new perspectives on the challenges in our world from some of the most remarkable minds in the global diaspora. Remove the noise and concentrate on the facts.
We'll get back to political news in a minute, but we have a story coming out of Missouri in case you missed it.
In other news, Missouri plans to execute a death row prisoner tonight despite significant questions about his guilt. Marcellus Williams was convicted of murdering newspaper reporter Felicia Gale in 1998. He has always denied it, and some prosecutors in that office, in the office that convicted him, say the case is filled with holes. Missouri's governor says it will not stop the execution. Jerika Duncan has been following this case. Jerika, good morning.
Good morning to you. Attorneys for 55-year-old Williams not only maintain his innocence, but they claim prosecutors botched the case, alleging evidence of racial bias and investigators' mishandling of the murder weapon before the trial. Now, despite the many questions surrounding Williams' conviction, the execution will go forward, barring a last-minute change.
With only hours left before his execution, Marcellus Williams is nearly out of options. Last night, the Missouri Supreme Court rejected his request to cancel the execution, writing, "There is no credible evidence of actual innocence." Missouri Governor Mike Parson also denied his request for clemency, writing, "Mr. Williams has exhausted due process and every judicial avenue. Nothing from the real facts of this case have led me to believe in Mr. Williams's innocence." Williams is on death row for the 1998 murder of Felicia Gale. He is convicted of stabbing the newspaper reporter 43 times with a butcher's knife inside her suburban St. Louis home. Police say they found Gale's personal items and her husband's computer in Williams's car. But his defense team argues male DNA found on the murder weapon and at the scene did not match Williams, and that there were no direct witnesses to the alleged crime. He and his family have always maintained his innocence.
I want a full exoneration because I believe wholeheartedly that my father is, that he is innocent.
Williams's fight has been ongoing for more than two decades. Hours before his scheduled execution in 2017, then-Governor Eric Greitens granted a stay due to unresolved questions about the DNA. He ordered a five-person board to examine the case, but when he left office, the board dissolved without making any recommendations. Since then, defense attorneys, the current county prosecutor, and even Felicia Gale's family have all asked to take the death penalty off the table.
Have you seen anything like this before?
No, certainly this is an extraordinary case.
We spoke to Williams's attorney, Tricia Rojo Bushnell, before the governor declined to halt the execution.
I think what many of us struggle with when we see a situation like this is what's the point? How can this be a criminal justice system if this is the kind of outcome it delivers?
A lot of people questioning that this morning. Williams' last chance at sparing his life sits with the U.S. Supreme Court. His legal team and county prosecutors told us they will work until the very last moments to stop Williams' execution. We did reach out to the Attorney General's office, but have not heard back. And I spoke to one of his attorneys this morning who said, you know, they have these three pending, cases to the Supreme Court. They're hoping that it makes a difference. And the family has said that they're at peace with whatever decision is made because they've been here before.
Oh, man.
They've been here before.
The idea of going forward with a death sentence when you haven't worked out the questions of guilt or innocence seems crazy to me.
And what's so odd about this one, you all, is you have not only the family, the victim's family saying, wait a minute.
Right.
You have prosecutors saying that. And just the support and the amount of people that are really looking at this case to see what happens next.
Wow. Trika, thank you very much.
Right now at 4, a death row inmate in Missouri scheduled to be executed in just 2 hours. That's despite several last-minute appeals on Marcellus Williams' behalf. He's maintained for decades that he is innocent of a 1998 murder in St. Louis County. Thank you for joining us at 4. I'm Brent Solomon.
And I'm Kay Quinn. Williams was found guilty of murdering former Post-Dispatch reporter Leisha Gale, who was repeatedly stabbed during a burglary of her suburban St. Louis home. Moments ago, a rally in support of Williams wrapped up in downtown St. Louis. Five on Your Side's Justina Coronel was there. She joins us live from the Carnahan Courthouse. Justina?
Well, some people are still here behind me. This is just one of four rallies across the state. Some will be heading up to Bon Terre to be there for the execution. They're calling this an execution watch as we inch closer to 6 o'clock. Now, earlier today, advocates dropped off a petition and rallied at the state capitol in Jefferson City. The group Missourians to Abolish the Death Penalty say they had received more than 1.5 million people signing that petition. However, the Missouri Supreme Court and Governor Mike Parson already made their decision 24 hours ago. The state's highest court made a ruling yesterday saying it won't issue a stay, and Governor Parson won't grant clemency. Yesterday morning, arguments were held before the Missouri Supreme Court. Williams' attorneys argued racial bias in the original jury selection, while the state fought back, saying that's not true. A Williams attorney with the Midwest Innocent Project spoke with me earlier this morning.
We don't see this happen, where a prosecutor comes forward, where the jurors come forward, where the victims come forward and say, we don't want an execution, but the state is doing it anyway. The question is, what does this serve? How can that be part of our criminal justice system? This is entirely unique.
So, Justina, is there any indication when the U.S. Supreme Court might rule?
We're told it could be any moment before the execution, but one criminal justice expert tells me that we might not hear from them at all. Reporting live, Justina Coronel, 5 on Your Side.
You really don't want to say, here we go again, but here we go again. On Monday, presidential candidate Donald Trump, our former president, was in Indiana, PA.
Right. On yesterday's show, we picked apart the false narrative emerging from several prominent voices that Donald Trump might be unfit for office, but they can't yet vote for Vice President Harris because she hasn't given enough details about her policies.
Well, I mean, you listen to Donald Trump on the policies.
And, you know, you should.
And you're like going, is this Lincoln?
Right.
Like, is this like a philosopher
king?
A bit of Aristotle
in there? I'm sure that was helpful to you.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind when listening to some of what Trump had to say at his rally last night in Pennsylvania.
And Vladimir wanted it badly. That was the apple of his eye. Ukraine was the apple of his eye. But I said, don't do it. He would have never gone in, would have never happened. All these things would have never happened. But Ukraine now, I see Zelensky is here. I think Zelensky's the greatest salesman in history. Every time he comes into the country, he walks away with $60 billion. Billion! Walks in with $60 billion. He wants them to win this election so badly. Even before, as president-elect, if I win this election, the first thing I'm going to do is call up Zelensky and call up President Putin, and I'm going to say, you got to make a deal. This is crazy. What a horrible thing has happened just because, and it's our fault because it's a war that should have never been allowed to happen. We didn't have one terror attack during my administration with all the terror attacks all over the world. We didn't have countries fighting each other. They wouldn't have done it without my permission. They would call me up to ask whether or not they could go to war with some other country. And I said, you can't do that. And if you do that, I'm going to put big, big taxes all over your country. Okay, we won't do it. And they'd call me up the next day. We've decided not to go to the war. We had no wars. These guys actually want these people in our country. It's not even believable. Working with left-wing nonprofits to inundate Pennsylvania communities, changing the character of small towns and villages all over our country and changing them forever. They will never be the same. They will never be. Do you think Springfield will ever be the same? I don't think. The fact is, and I'll say it now, you have to get them the hell out. You have to get them out. I'm sorry. Get them out. Can't have it. Can't have it. They've destroyed it. It's terrible. It's terrible to say, and it's a tough thing to do. What the damage that Sleepy Joe, you know, I'm tending to call him Sleepy Joe lately because I called him Crooked Joe, but now he's not like, is he, who's our president? We don't even have, do we have a president? Why doesn't he leave? Why doesn't he leave? Now think of it. Think of it. I called him Crooked Joe. That was very effective. It got him out of the race. I mean, guess what? No, we had a debate. And he didn't do too well in that debate. And they came to him and they said, you're down 21 points and you're going to lose. This can only happen to me. So I end up with somebody new. But here's the thing. All I have to do is expose her for what she is. She's a communist, okay? She's a communist. And this country is not ready for a communist and hopefully never will be, because that doesn't work. And remember this, and I just say this, if you look at Ukraine and Russia, but you know they say Russia. I stopped the Russian pipeline. It's called Nord Stream 2. Nobody ever heard of it until I came along. I stopped the biggest economic development job, the biggest job they've ever done. I stopped it cold. When Biden came in, he let them build, but he killed our Keystone pipeline, which we needed. He killed Keystone, so he killed, but think of it. And remember this about Russia. Under Bush, they took a lot. Under Biden and Barack Hussein Obama, has anyone ever heard of him, Barack? Barack Hussein, a lot of people say he's actually running the country right now. I don't think so. I don't think so. But some people say he's running our country. But under, I don't think it's Biden. Under Barack Hussein Obama, they took a lot, right? Under Biden, they're taking everything. They're taking everything.
Okay, in that, I guess, what he would call the weave, there were so many disgusting, hateful things in there. It's hard to keep up. I know we're focused on foreign policy, but if I could just say his comments about Springfield. yeah, Springfield has never been the same since Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and their violent rhetoric has wreaked chaos, havoc, fear, and upended the lives of countless people in that town. Ohio's Republican governor wrote an op-ed asking Donald Trump and J.D. Vance to stop, explaining the damage they have done to Springfield, yep, and speaking up for the legal Haitian immigrants who live in Springfield, who add to the economy, who add to the society, who are good people. And it was very, very clear what is going on in Springfield is at the hands of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and that violent rhetoric.
And by the way, speaking of violent
and lies.
Speaking of rhetoric, I mean, she's a communist. We can never have a communist running this country. Yeah, the communist that is proposing $50,000 tax breaks for first-time small business owners, the communist that's proposing $25,000 tax cuts, tax incentives for first-time home buyers, the communist who is putting together tax incentives, private incentives to help spur 3 million new homes for construction over the next 4 years. Doesn't sound like a communist to me. You know why? Because it's not a communist. But it's interesting. Wall Street Journal editorial page. I talked about a column or two that I read over the weekend, and you did too. Very disturbing columns. But Wall Street Journal editorial page, again, been very responsible on Donald Trump's lies, the big lie, been very responsible talking about the lunacy that has taken over the Republican Party many times. It really has. And this morning, Ryan Ruth's political motives at the end said, we'll learn more as the case proceeds, but Ruth sounds like the type of person that could be triggered into murder by our ugly political debates. It's another reason for the country's leaders to avoid inflammatory end-of-days rhetoric against political opponents and about the consequences of losing a presidential election. Of course, Donald Trump said it's all the Democrats' fault. Dan Hininger said it's all the Democrats' fault. And then immediately thereafter, Donald Trump started talking about, because this is when he was attacking Democratic rhetoric. In the same Truth Social post, he says, because of this communist left rhetoric, the bullets are flying and it will only get worse. And he always accuses the left. He always accuses Kamala Harris, who now is being attacked for actually being in the center of being communist. But Willie, really quickly, we were going over the false equivalency of people saying, oh, well, you know, Donald Trump, he may be bad, but at least we know where he stands on policy. We don't know where Kamala stands, so how can we vote for her? We do know where she stands on a hell of a lot of policies. But here's where Donald Trump stands on policies. The people that said, yeah, but we know where he stands, and so we're going to vote for him. Zelensky, for Donald Trump, we just heard there, is a bad guy. Putin, a victim. Yeah. Vladimir Putin invades Ukraine. Who does Donald Trump say is at fault? The United States of America. He blames the city brightly shining on the hill for all the world to see. The city that has pushed back Russian aggression now since 1945. The country that has liberated much of Eastern Europe and is now trying to help liberate Ukraine. But Donald Trump blames America. He doesn't blame Vladimir Putin. He never has. And so for all these people that want to vote for him, are desperately seeking permission structure to vote for him, you will be voting for a man who says America is at blame for Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine. We made him do it. You go down the line. By the way, that sounds a lot like a certain historian who has been in the news lately and promoted, who said that in World War II, Hitler wasn't the villain. Churchill was the bad guy. And Hitler and the Holocaust, well, this person says it was just poor logistics. And they ended up deciding it was actually more humane to kill 6 million Jews than to let them slowly starve. Donald Trump talks about mass deportation, the villages that have been changed. It's like he thinks Shrek has come to the villages of Pennsylvania. Mass deportations, the crowd chanting, send them back. The antithesis. If there are any conservatives left out there who actually remember Ronald Reagan, Reagan in his farewell speech talked about what small business owners in Springfield are talking about, how immigrants revive economies, how immigrants make America forever young. Ronald Reagan said it, his farewell speech. But Donald Trump in this speech is talking and the crowd's chanting, I think, send them back, send them back. And then he's talking about massive tariffs. He's going to end wars by slapping massive tariffs on products that will destroy America's economy. If not destroy America's economy, let me restate that. It will crush working class Americans and middle class Americans. And then he brings up the debate against Joe Biden, but for some reason doesn't bring up the debate against Kamala Harris, doesn't bring up the fact that he dodged yet again her request, her demand for a second debate. He keeps dodging it, Willie. Why? Because he's horrible on the issues. And yet there's this flattening. Donald Trump will say that. And then you'll have people, and we'll get to Tom Nichols on this, but then we'll have people going, yeah, but what does Kamala Harris really think about quantitative easing? And yes, I understand that she's going to talk about $50,000 tax breaks for first-time small business owners and entrepreneurs and family businesses and people starting businesses on Main Street USA. But what are the long-term tax ramifications about that? Well, Donald Trump just goes on stage